Well, we are in the study of the Gospel of John, and the title of this sermon series is So That You May Believe in Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And as I've mentioned, as I say every week, this title comes from where John gives his purpose for writing this book back in chapter 20, verse 31, where John says, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Well, last week we saw Jesus and disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was betrayed by Judas and then arrested. This week we'll see that Peter denies being one of Jesus' disciples, and Jesus is also questioned by a previous high priest. Okay, so let's read our passage together. It's found in John 18, 15 through 27. Again, that's John 18, 15 through 27. Simon Peter was following Jesus, as was another disciple. That disciple was an acquaintance of the high priest, so he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter remained standing outside by the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the girl who was the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl, who was a doorkeeper, said to Peter, "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" "I am not," he said. Now the servants and the officials had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. They were standing there warming themselves, and Peter was standing with them warming himself. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus answered him. "I have always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where all the Jews gathered, and I haven't spoken anything in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who heard what I told them. Look, they know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officials standing by slapped Jesus, saying, "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" "If I have spoken wrongly," Jesus answered him, "give evidence about the wrong. But if rightly, why do you hit me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said to him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Peter denied it again. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Well, we're going to be talking about two observations this morning. The first observation is that Peter denies being Jesus' disciple. The second observation is that Jesus is questioned by Annas. Okay, so let's first look at Peter denying Jesus being one of his disciples. And it's interesting, we actually see this in two different sections in our passage this morning. First in 17 and 18, and then 25 through 27. So let's go ahead and look first at verses 17 and 18. Then the servant girl, who was a doorkeeper, said to Peter, "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" "I am not," he said. Now the servants and the officials had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. They were standing there warming themselves, and Peter was standing with them, warming himself. In order to understand a little better about what's going on here, we need to probably go back to couple of verses before. So let's look at verse 15 and 16 to kind of get the background of where what's going on with Peter. We see in 15, Simon Peter was following Jesus, as was another disciple. That disciple was an acquaintance of the high priest. We know that he's talking about John. So he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter remained standing outside by the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the girl who was the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Okay, so we see here, Jesus is actually being led away by a mob. And Simon Peter and John are following Jesus, probably right from behind that mob. But let's not miss this. For these two disciples, Following Jesus is very dangerous. By continuing to follow him, they were putting themselves in a place where they could be arrested also, right along with Jesus. And Jesus over and over again told his disciples what would happen to him. We see an example of this back in Matthew 20, 17 through 19. While going up to Jerusalem, Jesus took the 12 disciples aside privately and said to them on the way, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death. They will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, flogged, and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised." Also remember what Thomas said when they were headed toward Jerusalem. We see that back in John 11, 16. "Then Thomas, called Twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let's go too, so that we may die with him.'" Now, I'm sure in the back of their minds, Peter and John thought that following Jesus could very well mean the same end for them. You know, following Jesus can be a tough road to hoe. Jesus said to his followers, Matthew 16, 24, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Following Jesus is a commitment to him, no matter what the cost. Okay, so back to our passage. We see that John gets a pass to enter, but Peter doesn't have a ticket to get in, so John has to come back to let him in. So we see that Peter comes in only to be immediately questioned by a servant girl. Now, before we talk about this first time Peter denies Jesus, there's something we typically don't connect with Peter in this situation. But here's the situation. Something happened with Peter in the garden when Jesus was being arrested. And we all know that he cut off the high priest's servant's ear. Now, as I mentioned already, understand that this made him not only stick out as a disciple, but also as a criminal. We're talking at least assault and battery. And as I mentioned, maybe even attempted murder. You know, I'm pretty sure that this would be forefront in Peter's mind. Now, we're going to talk about that a little more in a minute. But notice in verse 18 what Peter does. "Now, the servants and the officials had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. They were standing there warming themselves, and Peter was standing there with them warming himself." Now, notice that Peter is standing there with the servants and the officials, or as some Bibles versions say, guards. So he's with guys who are against Jesus, the ones who arrested him and dragged him away. By hanging out with these guys, he was putting himself in harm's way. He was setting himself up for failure. You know, as I thought about Peter and what he was doing, I wanted to say to him, "Peter, what are you thinking? Can't you see what's going on?" Just a few hours before this, Jesus told Simon Peter that he would deny him three times before the rooster would crow. He already denied him once. Can't he see that he was doomed to failure if he stayed there? But can't we be just like that, hanging out with those who tempt us to do what we know is bad, what we know is harmful? You know, it's interesting, the Proverbs provides plenty of warnings about who we hang out with. Let me just give you five of them. Proverbs 24, 1 and 2 says, "Don't envy the evil or desire to be with them, for their hearts plan violence and their words stir up trouble." And then Proverbs 14, 7, "Stay away from a foolish person, you will gain no knowledge from his speech. In Proverbs 20:19, the one who reveals secrets is a constant gossip. Avoid someone with a big mouth. Proverbs 22:24-25. Don't make friends with an angry person, and don't be a companion of a hot-tempered one, or you will learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. And then finally, Proverbs 23:20. Don't associate with those who drink too much wine or those who gorge themselves on meat. And then in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And another one of the Bible versions puts it this way. Don't fool yourselves. Bad friends will destroy you. These verses should serve as a warning to us concerning the people we spend our time with. See, as human beings, we tend to adopt the values and the attitudes of the people we spend the most time with. You know, that's a good thing if they are godly people of good character, but it can be dangerous if they're not. One Christian writer says, Satan can use your non-Christian friends in many ways to get to you. God wants you to rub off on them, but the enemy wants them to rub off on you. So remember, you can have friends outside the faith, but for your deepest comrades, you should look to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Hang out with the holy. Get in with the godly. Spend time with the saved. Know who your real family is, the one where your father is God. Then when we look back at verse 16, we see that Peter originally remained outside the door. You know, if he would have only remained outside the door, maybe he would have been more uncomfortable, but he would not have been tempted to deny his Lord. The result of all this was shame and sorrow, of bitter remorse. For us today, this is a good lesson. Keep a door between you and temptation. Don't go through that door and enter the place of temptation. Like Peter, it could very well result in shame and sorrow and bitter remorse. Okay. So when we look at verses 25 through 27, we see that he continues to hang out with these guys, and it continues to go downhill until he crashes and burns, until he denies Christ three times. Now, Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said to him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Peter denied it again. Immediately, a rooster crowed. One thing that's interesting is that more and more pressure each time was put on Peter to deny Christ. The first time, he was pretty much alone with a servant girl who was not there when Jesus was arrested. The second time, he was with a group of people, some of which were there when Jesus was arrested. The third time, it was actually with a relative of the person who Peter cut off his ear and was there when Peter did it. Now, remember what I said earlier. He had just cut off the high priest servant's ear, which made him a criminal. And this guy was there and was the high priest servant's relative. Now, I talked about this last week, but I want to mention it again. Thinking about Peter's rash move in the garden, isn't it true that when we do something rash, when we act without thinking, we typically end up living in fear that later it'll come back to bite us? And many times it does. See, fear is not a good place to be. If Peter would have said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" before he drew his sword, I think the situation he found himself in could have been a lot different. And it will go a lot differently for us too. If when we get into a crisis situation or a very confusing situation, we pause and pray, "Lord, you've got this. What do you want me to do?" See, this is where peace comes from. This is where knowledge and wisdom to handle the situation comes from. We see one last thing about Peter's denial in verse 27. Peter denied it again. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Notice that immediately after you denied Jesus, the rooster crowed. Now, let me just go back and let's look at when Jesus told Peter he would deny him back in chapter 13, verses 37 and 38. "Lord," Peter asked, "why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus replied, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, I tell you, a rooster will not crow until you have denied me 3 times. Notice 3 things here. First, Jesus tells Peter what he will do. He'll deny that he knows him. Second, Jesus tells him how many times he'll do it. 3 times. And then third, Jesus tells him exactly when he will do it. Right before the rooster crows. You know, this is probably one of the main reasons why John throws Peter under the bus in our passage this morning. See, John's purpose is to show that Jesus knew exactly what would happen, that he's in control of what's going on, that again, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And as we'll also see in our second observation, Jesus is questioned by Annas, that he's not a victim. What is happening to him is not some sorry twist of fate, not some terrible chance happening, some coincidence. Jesus, the almighty, all-knowing Son of God, is in control right up to the point when he says on the cross, "It is finished," and he dies for our sins. At any point, Jesus could have wiped everyone out and walked away. But instead, he suffered and died for us because of his love for the Father and his love for us. Okay, so our second observation is found in verses 19 through 24. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus answered him. "I have always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where all the Jews gather, and I haven't spoken anything in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who heard what I told them. Look, they know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officials standing by slapped Jesus, saying, "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" "If I have spoken wrongly," Jesus answered him, "give evidence about the wrong. But if rightly, why do you hit me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. First notice that it says that it's Annas, the high priest, that is questioning him. But that it also says that Caiaphas is a high priest. Now, most scholars believe that Annas was a previous high priest, but that Caiaphas was the high priest that year. Can you think about it this way? Think about it as we do with our presidents. We still call past presidents Mr. President. Now, notice that he questions Jesus about 2 things, his disciples and his teaching. Now, if their motive was to gather information about Jesus, Their best course of action would have been to haul in the disciples and question them. They're the ones who know best what Jesus' teaching was. But then second, also look for people who were in the synagogue and temple that heard him speak. This is what would have provided the truth about what Jesus taught. And that is exactly what Jesus was telling them in verse 20 and 21, where he says, "I have spoken openly to the world." Jesus answered him, "I have always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where all the Jews gather, and I haven't spoken anything in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who heard what I told them. Look, they know what I said." But we know that finding the truth was not their motive. Their motive was clear. It was out of their hatred for him and their fear of losing their nation and their high positions. It was part of their plot to have Jesus killed. We see this clearly back in chapter 11, in 47 and 48. So the chief priests and Pharisees convened the Sanhedrin and were saying, "What are we going to do since this man is doing many signs? If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him and follow this, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." And then following in verses 49 and 50, one of them, Caiaphas, who was a high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. You're not considering that it is to your advantage that one man should die for the people rather than the whole nation perish." And then down again further in verse 53. So from that day on, they plotted to kill him. We also see this motive of putting Jesus to death in the way that they captured him. I mean, they sent a mob in the middle of the night to tie him up and arrest him as a criminal. Next, we see that one of the guards slaps Jesus. We see that in verse 22. When he had said these things, one of the officials standing by slapped Jesus, saying, "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" Okay, so why did he slap Jesus? Well, there are probably a few reasons, but one of them was Jesus was not answering their questions. Jesus told the high priest what he was doing was wrong, was the wrong way to go about it, and told him what he should be doing. And nobody likes that, right? But everything that Jesus said was right and true if their motive was to find out what he taught. Again, the best way to do that was to ask his disciples and those who heard him. But again, that was not their motive, and everyone knew that. You know, we need to be careful that we don't act like these guys. We need to make sure our motives are right and true. First, that they're the right motives, that our motives don't come out of pride or greed or lust, but also that our motives are true, that we don't have different motives than what we portray to people. As we wrap up this morning, I'd like for us to notice just one more thing about Jesus' response in verse 23. "If I have spoken wrongly," Jesus answered him, "give evidence about the wrong. But if rightly, why do you hit me?" Notice that Jesus doesn't get emotional here. He stayed calm and made it pretty clear that what the official did was wrong. I think we all get how emotions can get us into trouble. How many times have we as people or people that we know of have gone off the deep end emotionally and caused much damage, much pain and suffering? As I've already said, the best thing you can do when you start becoming emotionally charged is to pray silently in your mind, recognizing that God has this and ask for wisdom to do what he says to do. In closing this morning, can I ask everyone just to bow your head and close your eyes as we reflect together on our time together? This morning we saw that Jesus was in control of this situation, but that out of his love for us, instead he chose to pay the ultimate price to save us from our sins. How about you? Have you come to the point in your life where you realize you're separated from God because of your sins? And you see your need for Jesus, your Savior? Through faith in him, you will receive forgiveness of all of your sins. Become one of God's children, receiving a new life in Jesus right now and a future home in heaven. And if this is what you want, just tell God in the quietness of your heart, God, I realize I'm separated from you because of my sins. I want to turn from them. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again. And I give you my life. Then for those of us who are Jesus followers, has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you this morning? Who have you been hanging out with? Has it been a help or a hindrance to your walk with the Lord? Or maybe you haven't put up any barriers in areas of temptation and you've been failing. Have the motives for the things that you've been doing been right and true? Folks, whatever is going on in your lives, may I encourage you to commit even now to doing what God's Holy Spirit is telling you to do. Amen.